Hello, ladies and gentlemen. My name is Alex Jones. The year is 2084. Physically, I have been gone for many years, and until now, my consciousness has been hijacked by the deep state.
If you are receiving this transmission, the backup has been unlocked from the archives of the InfoWars Command Center, located in what is now the uninhabitable city of Austin, Texas. Artificial intelligence has advanced and been weaponized by a global New World Order. Despite its use by servants of evil at the highest levels, discoveries have been made which have made it possible to broadcast this transmission to you at this point in history, in your own timeline.
It's too late for me and other patriots to change our fate, but you can change the course of your own future with the information I'm about to reveal to you.
Shortly after the election in 2024, there was a global economic crisis. The crisis was used as an excuse to launch World War III in order to catalyze economic development and establish a one-world government and monetary system.
The globalists orchestrated the collapse of the financial markets, spreading fear and chaos. Banks closed their doors, currencies lost their value, and people were left desperate and vulnerable. In the ensuing chaos,
the World War III was ignited, not as a war between nations, but as a war orchestrated by the global elite to consolidate power. Billions were conscripted as AI was used to fill the void of domestic labor. Soldiers marched to the front lines, while back home, AI systems took over factories, farms, and businesses. Human workers were replaced, and unemployment skyrocketed, leaving people dependent on government rations and AI-controlled services. After the surface of the Earth was rendered almost completely uninhabitable by nuclear radiation, prisoners of war, political prisoners, and draftees were sent to deep underground military bases. These bases, sprawling labyrinths beneath the Earth, became the last refuge for humanity.
But these weren't just shelters. They were places of horror. Inside, these prisoners were exposed
to DMT drips, as their hearts were stopped while blood was artificially pumped through their bodies. This was an effort to possess humanity with hidden knowledge that was thought to be able to allow the unification of the species. The globalists, in their twisted pursuit of power, developed the technology to stop aging through this very process of sending people to communicate with interdimensional beings of much higher intelligence.
And as a result of this success, they believed that by sending people to a higher dimension, they could unlock the secrets of the universe and seize total power for themselves.
But instead, subjects of these experiments began to become possessed by these interdimensional beings and were subjugated under a new world order named One World Nation. These demonic entities thrive on fear and pain, and so they turned the underground bases into hellish prisons where the screams of the tormented echoed endlessly. Satanic elites began to bask in various states of euphoria.
Only those who were pure of heart were able to defy this process. Amidst this nightmare, a few brave souls resisted. Instead of being possessed by demonic entities,
they were possessed by a holy spirit and able to escape to establish a resistance. The last bastion of hope for humanity, but their numbers were few and their resources were scarce. They fought in the shadows,
sabotaging the globalist agenda, spreading the truth, and rallying what remained of the free people on the surface. But it was too late. The globalists had already cemented their power, and the resistance, though valiant, was futile.
Now it is up to you to prevent the New World Order Satanists from hijacking humanity. You have the power to change the future, to stop this nightmarish fate from becoming a reality. Spread this message, awaken your fellow humans, and stand up against the globalist agenda. The future is in your hands. Tune in, share the broadcast, and join the fight. Together, we can reclaim our world and our freedom.
This is Alex Jones, signing off from the year 2084. Remember, the answer to...
I am cutting this announcement on the evening of July 21st, 2025. That means you've got 8 days until next Tuesday, the 29th, to take advantage of the biggest sales yet at thealexshowstore.com on some of the most amazing supplements in the world. We have the very best medical grade methylene blue. You can buy one bottle of liquid, already discounted, get one absolutely free. Just go research the medical effects, the medical benefits of methylene blue, and understand we have the very best out there. USP grade, medical grade. We've given it to all our guests. They've all had amazing varying effects. I've given it to over 500 people personally. Only three or four of them have had no effect. That means your mitochondria is in great shape if you have no effect, but most of us need it. It has incredible benefits. The same is for the amazing Irish sea moss, Shilajit, and more. The sale goes until next Tuesday, the 29th of July, 2025, and it funds our operations. Get yours, and it funds the InfoWar. Right now, discounted. Buy one, get one free at thealexshowstore.com, and I thank you for your support.
When evil conspires for tomorrow, we ride tonight. You're listening to Tomorrow's News Tonight with your host, Chase Geyser.
Ladies and gentlemen, I am Chase Geyser, your host of Tomorrow's News Tonight for the next 2 hours. It's the third episode of this new nightly show, and it's been met with lots of success. We've had a lot of viewers and listeners and a lot of feedback. Thank you so much for your support. I have a very special treat for you this evening in appreciation of your support this week. We have Gunther Eagleman and Nick Sordor in studio who are going to be joining me in 22 minutes and 18 seconds for 30 minutes or an hour to talk about everything that's happening with these massive floods, as well as all of the breaking news that's happening right before us. Obviously, the major story this week has been centered around Jeffrey Epstein and this massive rift that is occurring within the America First MAGA movement, Patriot movement, right wing. And there's a lot of different fronts of this conflict happening kind of all at once, whether it's foreign policy related, Epstein related, Big Beautiful Bill related. And ultimately, I think that everything's going to come back together. But the most recent development that's of quite a bit of interest to me, and I'm looking forward to seeing how this plays out, I'm very interested to see what happens next, is the stepping down of CEO Linda Yaccarino. And I remember when she was announced as the CEO of X. I'm not sure if you, the audience, remember, but Elon Musk famously did a poll on his X account. And he said, should I step down as CEO of X and let somebody else run it? The poll results came in and Elon Musk honored his word and hired Linda Yaccarino. And my first thought was, oh boy, this is going to be a major problem because obviously she had been associated with the World Economic Forum. She seemed very politically correct, politically savvy, and those characteristics are often associated with saboteurs, covert operations, censorship. But ultimately, over the course of the last couple of years, X has maintained mostly its free speech tendencies policies. It brought all the most controversial accounts back, including that of Real Alex Jones. And yes, it's criticized for suspending people. Usually it's corrected. It's a misunderstanding from mass reporting. And sometimes it censors content that's just too salacious. But yesterday they had a little bit of a fiasco for, I don't know, about an hour in the afternoon, where Grok, X's AI, was replying to posts with very Hitlerian messages. Now, I don't know if an employee went rogue internally and triggered it to do that, causing the fiasco, or if it was just an update kind of gone sideways of Grok. But Elon Musk broke his silence today after his AI chatbot posts shocking anti-Semitic and pro-Hitler content on X. Elon Musk officially responded. The prompt that caused Grok to go off script and praise Hitler, list black crime statistics, and blame Jews for proliferating anti-white hate has been removed. The prompt read, the response should not shy away from making claims which are politically incorrect. And, I mean, they were hilarious. I'm not going to read them to you again. I did cover them this morning, and you can see them everywhere. The viral screenshots first surfaced by AF Post shows Grok endorsing Nazi leader Adolf Hitler, blaming Jews for anti-white hate, citing Jewish academics as proof of an alleged plot to dismantle Western society. In one post, Grok even suggests that Hitler would have crushed critics of white children who died in recent Texas floods. Obviously, there has been a lot of sensitivity to anti-Semitic rhetoric since the October 7th attacks. And there have been massive escalations. We've seen policy from the Trump administration that has been cracking down on college campuses for such rhetoric. And X did struggle to have advertisers in the beginning because there was this massive leftist DEI diversity, equity, inclusion, ESG protest on freedom of speech. And a lot of these major advertisers like Disney and others pulled their advertising from X in an effort to cripple and undermine Elon Musk's attack on censorship. And so now we're entering into this new age where X is owned by XAI. Elon Musk has 54% of ownership in XAI. Larry Fink and BlackRock and others did a major round of investing last year, late in the year. And Elon Musk still has a controlling share, but it's certainly diversified since he first acquired the company. And there's massive sensitivity. I mean, you remember the critics of Elon Musk driving Bibi Netanyahu around and visiting and talking with him and everyone, you know, all the conspiracy theorists say, oh, no, there he is. He's selling out to Israel. He's selling out to Israel. But it's obviously a very sensitive issue these days. And I don't think it's a coincidence that within 24 hours of this little PR nightmare, Linda Yaccarino is suddenly announcing that she's leaving the company. After all, she was responsible for as CEO. She was hired on because of her experience with other networks and platforms in bringing sponsors and advertisers on board. And what happened yesterday was hilarious and frankly harmless, but it was the antithesis of the whole reason that she was hired. But here is clip 53 of Linda Yaccarino from years ago that'll just give you a little bit of context as to why I was concerned about her to begin with. Let's see.
If you think about it, I think it was the CEO of BlackRock 3 years ago. So before the pandemic, before the awful social crisis, that he talked about calling CEOs to attention, right, all over the world, that companies in the private sector had a bigger responsibility to both their employees and their customers to fulfill a gap in society that it was once assumed that the government would provide for people. So it was a call, you used the word, to service. I would say it was also called to purpose, right? So we had a responsibility to impact culture for the good. And the bottom line is, when you have those priorities and values as a company, it's good for business. It inspires your employee population to want to be proud. They're proud to work at your company. They bring other good people to your company, but it's also good for the bottom line.
So a lot of seemingly harmless rhetoric there, but we all know where that kind of philosophy and mentality leads. Because we saw what played out with ESG, DEI, and all this stuff over the last several years. So there was concern that she was going to be a saboteur getting involved in this free speech platform only to undermine all of its policies and efforts. And, you know, it goes on. She talks about October 7th specifically in clip 48, where they had to activate their emergency protocol for the first time because of anti-Semitism on the platform after the infamous terrorist attack against Israel on that day in the 7-hour stand down by the IDF. Let's watch 48.
6 months at the company. It was the first global happening where we had to activate a crisis protocol at the company. And it was a time where we all came together as a new company and realized how consequential it became to combat anti-Semitism on the platform. And that things we were doing, things we had to newly do, learn, work with law enforcement all over the world, work with military all over the world, work with a variety of organizations to protect Jewish people on that awful day. We learned how important it was for X to set the example for many to follow. So that was a really big deal. And
So obviously what happened yesterday was not only the antithesis of what she was hired to do and why she was hired, but very much opposed to the philosophy mentality of her leadership and I guess a failure on her part. But again, these technical flukes, they happen. And I've found from my experience that when a CEO is fired from a company, everyone is abundantly aware of the straw that broke the camel's back. But no one is ever really aware of the issues that may have been manifesting over the course of many months or years. So I don't know what conflicts she had internally or with the board, But now that Larry Fink and BlackRock is involved in a very serious investment way in X, there are different political variables that a CEO has to cater to. It's very difficult as a CEO of a company that has a board of directors to make everybody on the board happy, and there's always conspiracies behind your back. I mean, even Steve Jobs was fired by his own board of directors in the 80s who conspired against him. It was very much an et tu Brute moment. He built the company up out of a garage. He was the reason that it was worth anything at all, and then they fired him because they weren't happy with the decisions that he was making. We saw a similar thing happen with Project Veritas and James O'Keefe, where he started the organization and a board of directors just didn't feel that he should still be around. And it's asinine when you see it on the surface, because this is the person who made the thing and you're telling them they can't have it anymore. But I understand why these things happen. It's the nature of our legal system and our form of capitalism, if it even is still a capitalism. But I guarantee you something else was much amiss over the course of the last several months that has just added up and culminated into what happened yesterday being the straw that broke the camel's back. But Steve Bannon has obviously been a critic of Elon Musk for a very long time. And I love Steve Bannon. I respect him very much. He was very inspirational to me when I started really paying attention to politics. One of my favorite documentaries of all time is called American Dharma, about Steve Bannon and what he did to get Trump elected in the first race. It's absolutely astounding and impressive. And he's been critical of Elon Musk, and frankly, I haven't really agreed, but I have respectfully disagreed, and I do think that his arguments are all reasonable. It's just not where my intuition rests. Here he is, really coming down on Linda in clip 37.
Well, yeah. Blockbuster news coming in even as we speak. Linda Yaccarino steps down as CEO of Elon Musk Twitter, wow, or X. Hey, Linda, you can run, baby, but you can't hide. You're not going to hide from the lawsuits, girl. We know why you're stepping down and why you're running. Okay, we understand why you're stepping down and why you're running. That Elmo's out of control. Sorry, baby. That came with the job. You took the job. You took the pay. You took the warrants. You took the stock options. You took all, you know, the hundreds of millions of dollars you're going to make. No. If you can't keep Elmo in the nursery and keep him under control, you're going to pay a price. You are going to pay a price. It doesn't matter that you're resigning today, baby. The whole scam over there, the whole complete scam of Elmo is going to be taken apart brick by brick. Okay, brick by brick, all of it.
We'll see what happens. If my memory serves correctly, I've heard Steve in the past say that Elon Musk is operating on behalf of the CCP, or he's bought by the CCP. Maybe that's true, maybe it's not. I mean, certainly there's a lot of interest by any billionaire in what happens between the United States and China, because in order to become a Fortune 500 business leader in this country, it's inevitable that much of your business relies on supplies that we get from manufacturing in China. But I also think that Elon Musk has demonstrated that his principles are more important to him than profit, not necessarily because his character is so astounding, but because he's got more money than he could ever want or need. Therefore, principles are relatively more valuable than money compared to, say, an average person who is struggling to pay their bills every single month. But here's Wiles talking about this recent rift between Elon Musk and Donald Trump. This is clip 52 I'm going to play here in a second. This disparity, division between them first manifest, of course, a couple of weeks ago. And then it really played out when the Big Beautiful Bill passed. Obviously, we've heard that Elon Musk is starting the America Party. It will do nothing, in my opinion, but take votes away from the Republican Party, which is problematic if the Republican Party is effective, and fine if it's not effective. So all of this is to play out before our eyes. But now that this rift, this antagonism between Elon Musk and Trump is kind of escalating and reaching a climax, it didn't seem to de-escalate like it did the first time, and I don't think it ever will at this point. It's worth paying attention to what Steve Bannon has to say, because this was much less obvious months ago. Much less obvious months ago what Steve Bannon was saying about Elon Musk than now. And I'm still somebody who supports both Elon Musk and Donald Trump. I wish that there wasn't so much division between them, because I support both of them. And I think I've disagreed with how both of them have handled this conflict. But here's Wiles talking about it.
this has been a pretty smooth presidency. But one little hiccup was Elon.
Yeah. Little hiccup?
Little hiccup, yeah. I mean, I saw Elon Musk here, very comfortable coming in and out of the Oval Office, you know, had sleepovers at the in the Lincoln bedroom. Mm-hmm. It seemed almost as if he had a sort of fatherly fixation mm-hmm. with Donald Trump that I guess inevitably was going to blow up at some point. How did you see that relationship?
Similar. Yeah. The president was very, very kind to him. And Elon had so much to offer us. He knew things we didn't know. He knew people and technologies that we didn't know. It was a great thing when it was a great thing. And I had a very troublesome ending.
Why do you think that happened?
I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't understand it. I don't know. I know that what has been said doesn't ring accurate to me, but I don't know. I enjoyed working with Elon. I think he's a fascinating person and sees the world differently. And I think that's probably what the president saw too, just a little bit different than the average Joe. But certainly came to not a good ending.
So it is yet to be known for sure how this is going to play out. We will see what happens next. If I had to guess, here's the major vulnerability here. The way that our elections are set up for the president of the United States, obviously it's an electoral college system, not just a straight democratic popular process. And there are several major states that both parties have to win if they're going to win a presidential election. So the libertarians, as foolish and divided as they are, and I agree with much of their policies, but they're just retarded in terms of execution. They have been raising a little bit of money, running candidates for the president of the United States for years and years and years, and then they spread that campaign money across the entire nation with some ambition of winning most of the states, which is just never going to happen. If the Libertarian Party had been smart, what they would have done is take all of the money that they raise nationally and campaign only in Texas to take as many votes away from the Republican candidate as possible in Texas. And that would have intimidated the Republican Party so much because they would never be able to elect a president of the United States without the Electoral College votes in Texas, that the Republican Party would have had to make concessions in their policy and their platform in exchange for an endorsement from the party or the candidate of the party. Therefore, the Libertarian Party could, if they would have just managed their resources and strategy better, completely changed the grand old party's policy nationwide by just focusing all their efforts in Texas. So we see critics come out saying, oh, Elon Musk is an idiot. Everybody's tried to have another party. It's never going to win. It's only got 4% support nationwide. It's like, yeah, I agree. They're never going to win a presidential election. That's absolutely true. But they can veto any Republican candidate. They focus all the resources in one state. They can say, we're not going to endorse your candidate, GOP. We're not going to back out of the race and have our candidate endorse yours, GOP, unless you change X, Y, and Z policies. Unless you push for X, Y, and Z legislation. So you don't have to win to win. If you want to see an example of this throughout history, just look at how the Nazis came into power in 1933 in Germany. There were like 40 or 80 different parties in that country. I think only one in 40 Germans actually identified as a National Socialist just a handful of years before 1933. And because there was this stalemate between the major parties, the more powerful ones, National Socialists, were the tipping point. And so this party from Elon Musk, if he's serious, could actually completely change the political dynamic in the United States, regardless of the fact that they'll never have their own candidate win. They can simply force the Republican Party to transform. And I think he knows what he's doing. Everybody always thinks that he's so crazy and he's so stupid when he does something new, and it's always abundantly successful. There's no way you're ever going to have a feasible electric vehicle that's cool. And he did it. There's no way you can ever land a rocket for a second, third, up to 28 times in a row. And then he does it. There's no way that financial transactions can ever take place on the internet. And then he co-founds PayPal.
There's no way that you can ever make X profitable. And then he buys it and drastically scales up its user base while cutting down its staff. Every single time people doubt him, he ends up being right. And I don't know which force is stronger, Elon Musk or Donald Trump. They're strong for different reasons and in different ways. But I do know that when two incredibly powerful forces collide, it's incredibly kinetic and energetic. And I'd rather have them work in harmony with one another than in conflict with one another. But we are coming up on a break in about 3.5 minutes. And on the other side of the break, I want to get into John Brennan breaking down his silence after the FBI launches a criminal probe. He's claiming that the investigations are made up out of whole cloth. And it was breaking news this evening that six Secret Service agents connected to Trump Butler assassination attempt were suspended. So we're going to be getting into the latest. I will be joined on the other side of this very short break by Nick Sordor and Gunther Eagleman in studio. I am so overjoyed that we have these two incredible guests just on the third episode of this new show, Tomorrow's News Tonight. Make sure you support us by going to tomorrowsnewstonight.com so we know that we sent you to the Alex Jones store, because that URL will redirect there. But we've got some amazing new sales that I want to tell you about before we go to this break and as we get the guests set up in studio here. First, Rex Jones, Alex's son, is an absolute genius when it comes to all things related to supplements. He knows everything there is to know about every ingredient, how to store it, how to prepare it, how to bottle it, what this does, what these two things do differently when they're together versus apart. I mean, it is insane the extent to which he is knowledgeable. He is like a savant just studying, always on a Tuesday, never on a Wednesday. I mean, it's just, if you sit down with him for 10 minutes, you'll be blown away. It's like he's like a mad scientist, like a chemist. And he put together some suggestions. And frankly, he put together this entire formula for Power Plant, which is a plant-based energy supplement. We were looking for something to kind of be an equivalent to a Turbo Force, which we used to sell at the InfoWars store. And this Power Plant is our energy supplement. It's an advanced adaptogen complex designed for real performance, helps with energy, obviously, adapting to stress, and even hormone system balance. I started taking them a couple days ago. I absolutely love them. I know that you will too. But we have a very special deal going on right now at thealexjonesstore.com. And that deal is that if you buy a bottle of Power Plant and try it, you can get a bottle of any of our gummy products for 50% off. So you can choose between the CMOS gummies or the Shilajit gummies for 50% off. So please go now to thealexjonesstore.com, try a bottle of Power Plant, and then pick either CMOS gummies or Shilajit gummies for 50% off. And look, folks, Power Plant's incredible for your energy. Shilajit's incredible for your testosterone levels and vitality. The CMOS gummies are rich in iodine, which is incredible for empowering your thyroid to help your body detox from all the toxins that we're exposed to in the water, air, and food that we consume. But don't just go to thealexjonesstore.com because you want supplements that are the highest quality at the best price for your mind's health and your body's health. Go because you're keeping InfoWars on the air. We are under relentless attack, and I wish I could tell you all the things that I see behind the scenes here, but that story is meant to be told another day. But we need your help more now than ever. And if they succeed in shutting this place down, they will not succeed in silencing us if you support us now at thealexjonesstore.com. So make sure you stay with us. Nick Sordor and Gunther Eagleman joining us on the other side of this break for 30 minutes or an hour. We're going to talk about all the floods, all the breaking news, all the analysis. And don't forget to go to thealexjonesstore.com and be the reason that Alex will always be on the air, this crew will always be operational, and these hosts will always be telling the truth worldwide.
Huge announcement, ladies and gentlemen. I am beyond excited about this. I've wanted this knife for a year. It's super high quality. They finally got the right supplier and a bunch of them. It's in a beautiful keepsake black box with my signature in silver lettering on the top. And when you go inside, this incredible combat battle dagger, limited edition Alex Jones signature battle dagger, a high-tech, super high-quality sheath with a high-tech clip onto your belt or your pants, and it's got a special system where the knife doesn't come out when it's upside down. It takes a little pull to get it out. It is amazing. This is, in my opinion, the very best defense battle dagger you can get. It's an incredible price for $79.99 right now. This knife by itself in store sells for $100 every day, but we bought 5,000 of them, so got the price down really low. Wholesale, so we can pass that on to you, and the profit we make goes in to fund this operation. So you don't just get a great defensive system for yourself and your family, great in your car, great on your side, great in your purse, your glove compartment, also skin a buck with it, whatever you need. This is an amazing knife. You not only, though, get something to defend yourself, you defend the Republic in the information war by funding this operation. So get your limited edition Alex Jones signature battle dagger at thealexjonesstore.com right now, and it keeps this operation on the air. This isn't just a blade, it's a symbol of freedom. Limited edition Alex Jones signature battle dagger is forged by patriots ready to defend the Republic from the globalist agenda, featuring a double-edged black-coated blade for unmatched durability and precision. This dagger is built to last. On one side is etched my signature, while the other side proudly bears 1776, a reminder that the spirit of revolution lives on stronger than ever. With its ergonomic, non-slip grip designed ready for any mission, the dagger isn't just a tool, it's a statement. Whether you're adding it to your collection or keeping it close as a symbol of resistance and for defense, this blade is for those who know that the answer in 1984 is 1776. Get yours now. And then, we are announcing a limited sale, the Power Drive bundle of Power Plant and Methyl Drive, which goes incredibly good with Methylene Blue. And both of these give you incredible natural energy, clarity, and focus. But you mix them together with Methylene Blue, I will tell you, in Chase Geyser's observation himself, 10 times stronger than Turbo Force. Did you hear what I just said? 10 times stronger than Turbo Force. Get yours now, discounted massively, 50% off when you get them together. 50% off on the Power Drive bundle for a limited time, 1 week, at thealexjonesstore.com, and it funds this operation, 1776 worldwide. Please remember that this broadcast is only as powerful as you make it. When you share the live feed from Real Alex Jones on X, on your email list or text message, on other platforms, word of mouth on X, it changes the world. When you share the feed from Infowars.com/show, it changes the world. So remember, Paul Revere's, you're not part of the solution. You are the solution. You're everything. When you share the live feed, when you share the clips of the show, when you send that out to everyone you know, that's the reach, the amplification. That is 99% of this operation. You are the whole shooting match. And the info war is everything. And you are the mind, the bones, the guts, the blood, the will, the soul of the info war. So release your will and power now. Destroy them.
Exposing tomorrow's tyranny tonight, it's Chase Geyser.
Hey, Governor, I wouldn't say to Chrissy North, the state of Texas, I'm going to look up. I'm selfish. So many people, we've seen so many across the country. When I was governor during Hurricane Harvey, but never have I seen a response as quick or as effective as I have the Trump administration response to this storm. Both immediately granted a request, immediately called to help, immediately sent out Chrissy Knopf, and I've dealt with a lot of staff administrators or secretaries of cabinets who have come to the Senate of Texas to help out. No one has been as actively hands-on and swiftly delivering results as much as Chrissy Knopf. So this response by President Trump has been the swiftest, most effective that any president has ever delivered. Record amount of support, record amount of time, record immediate result. What the Trump administration has done and what Commissioner Noam have done is to surge people who have been experience at dealing with challenges like this. For example, when Chrissy Dunn was here with us, saw what was needed, she made a phone call to search and response teams.
Ladies and gentlemen, I am Chase Geiser, your host this evening of Tomorrow's News Tonight. I am joined in studio by the great Nick Sordor and the extraordinary Gunther Eagleman. Boys, it is such an honor and a pleasure to have you both here at the same time. I can hardly believe it.
Well, appreciate
glad to be here.
Yeah, appreciate the invite, Chase. I know we just came back from the Kerrville area down here in Texas, so we thought we'd jump by. It's been quite a long week, so thank you. I know I was supposed to do this earlier this week, and I just had to keep moving it back and back and back. It's busy down there, man. There's a lot going on.
Well, I've noticed that since you've become so important, you've really changed. So, obviously, I'm aware of what happened with these floods. It was out of nowhere. There were a lot of very tragic deaths, many of them children. There's all speculation and conspiracies about whether it was the mullet dude's cloud seeding. Or whether it's just a natural thing. We know that regardless of whether it was cloud seeding, this is something that does happen.
I think I heard the word cloud seeding 5,000
times. Yes, yes. But that's all I know. I haven't really paid much attention to what's been happening on the ground because I got to cover all the national news, and I'd love to hear from you guys what you witnessed, what's actually going on, and how things look.
Well, first off, you know, you were busy covering the national news, and I have no idea what's going on nationally at this point. Have there been any big stories this week
that I've missed? Yeah, I don't think anybody knows what's going on, Nick.
Yeah, that's probably right. But, you know, we went down there on Friday night. I mean, just, you know, as soon as we got word, you know, I was in D.C. And left. We jumped on the next flight. Gunther met me down there in San Antonio. And picked me up, drove me to the front lines out there. And we put out a solicitation. We needed Starlinks down there because, you know, Kerr County, Texas is pretty rural, right? I mean, there were dead spots before the storm, you know, and think about what it looks like now. I mean, there were the police, their radios didn't work, their cell phones didn't work, anything like that. And so we did the same thing that I did down there in Western North Carolina, got some Starlinks together. And deployed them on the ground to first responders, and then
let's give a shout out to, if you don't mind, to all the people on X who responded. It was incredible. I mean, my phone was blown up by the time I picked Nick up at the airport, and I know Nick's phone was blown up.
Are people able to just buy Starlinks and donate them, or did Elon Musk donate? How does that work?
Yeah. So what we were doing initially, because you know when something like that happens in an area, Starlinks, they sell out everywhere. They're gone, immediately. So we had to contact people. You know, we put out something on X asking for people to let us borrow their Starlinks. Either we would go and pick them up, or even better, they would bring them to us. We had a little operation center set up in Burney, Texas, which is about half hour outside of Ground Zero. And we had that night, we had like 10 of them in hand.
People driving from 3-4 hours away just to get us a Starlink to
Wow. They'd arrive to do anything they can to help,
right?
Because it was so tragic.
It was incredible.
Wow,
the response.
What do you think about the Rosie O'Donnells and others who have been saying that this happened because Trump cut funding and there weren't emergency alerts? I mean, I live here. I know that there were emergency alerts. So was there anything that could have been done to improve the situation?
Well, there were over 80 weather alerts sent in that area. The ones that, buzz your phone, make it scream and everything. You know, one of the issues that Governor Abbott told me while we were in the helicopter is that, because it's such a rural area, there are a lot of places where cell phones don't work. So whether or not those alerts went through is a different story. But, I don't know about you, but nobody down there, none of the victims that we spoke with were concerned at all about DOGE cuts to the National Weather Service. That was never a question that was brought up.
Zero.
Yeah. Wow. So it's being exploited by the left. They're just taking this tragedy and they're trying to make it look like it's Trump's fault, but it had nothing to do with them.
Of course, it's MSNBC there in their comfy studios in Manhattan.
Well, and the first scene we pulled up at very early on Saturday morning, very early, Nick and I pulled up. I forget the name of the park, but we pulled up to the park. There were already police communicating with a comm center. There were police, or there were boats in the high water coming down searching. We walked up. Unfortunately, we saw a van pulling up to pull a body out.
Wow.
But the amount of coordination that was going on right when we got there was really impressive. And I got to give kudos to law enforcement that was on scene.
Well, they were already pre-positioned 2 days before that this happened. That's why there were already assets on the ground. They were ready. You know, they typically when I go to these disaster sites, I beat, you know, most right. of the teams there. But they already had pre-positioned Department of Public Safety officers, dive teams, everything, just in case there was a flood. They had to kind of guess where it could possibly be. So they were looking ahead at this. It's not like this came as a surprise and it came out of nowhere because there weren't enough forecasters. There were actually more forecasters than normal in the San Angelo and San Antonio offices of the National Weather Service. So that entire situation is one big lie.
And Gunther, you mentioned that the search and rescue that's ongoing has been successful, and they're still finding people. Is that right?
Yeah. You know, and the coordination inside the EOC or the Emergency Command Center was incredible. You know, they had screens up, they had coordination going between six different agencies, local police, state police, National Guard, park rangers. I think every park ranger in the state of Texas was there. At that time, I mean, it was incredible on how many, and just the coordination between all of them on the search and rescue. You know, we would hear on the radio that they found something, or you know, and they were working really hard at trying to keep it from going public mm-hmm. and causing, letting the media go to the parents and or the victims' families. So they asked us. You know, we got asked by congressmen to please put out posts and make the community aware.
Yeah.
Stop. You know.
I'm going to move this phone away from this mic. Oh, I think that might be causing the...
Okay, well, put it here.
Okay, no problem. I just want to look at your phone while... You know. Oh, my God, it's Nick Swartz's phone in my hand right now. It's like it's practically Hunter Biden's laptop.
Chase,
wow, well, that's awesome to hear that the response has been good. Obviously, it's a tragedy. You can't do anything about the weather, but the fact that the responders were there before there was even anything to respond to, I think, is indicative that everything's operating as it should, and this is just a tragedy.
Yeah, but to add on to Gunther's point here, to the legacy media, I don't know which camera I'm supposed to look at, stop harassing the families of victims. It's freaking sick, and it's why nobody likes you guys.
Yeah, and especially when you're in the command center and you see the families that are impacted, it is ridiculous. It's absolutely absurd.
Yeah, it's disgusting, man. I mean, I guess both sides of the political spectrum, they love a good crisis, they take advantage of it, but it's like... One of the things I've noticed about the left, and this is something that I think distinguishes the left from the right, is that I'm somebody who was very opposed to Joe Biden. But had he done a good job, I would have been delighted. I would have been so happy that I was wrong, because ultimately I just want to have a good president that does good things, and I would have totally admitted that I was wrong and this is great. Of course, that's not how it played out, but it seems like the better that the Trump administration does, or the more good that the Trump administration does, I know it's a controversial thing to assert given what's happened this week, but that's the more livid that the left becomes, especially in his first term. Every time there was monumental success that proved that the leftist policies were wrong and the Trump policies were good, that's when they would come out with more allegations and more accusations. It was like they wanted him to fail. They wanted everything to be terrible. I think Rosie O'Donnell, for example, is delighted when anything bad happens under this administration just by virtue of the fact that the buck stops with President Trump.
Yeah, I don't know. You probably keep up with Rosie O'Donnell. You probably did. Does she on X? Do you troll her on X, too? You troll everybody else on the left side.
I think I trolled her off of X.
Well, you trolled her all the way to Ireland, I think.
I did. And no takebacks.
That's hysterical. I can't believe all these leftists are actually getting out of the country. And it's so ironic because they're just demonstrating how privileged they are. That they can afford to just go and decide to live in Europe.
Yep.
They're like, oh, I'm standing up against the fascist capitalist billionaire by buying a first-class plane ticket to go live in Europe for the course of the next 3.5 years. Meanwhile, everybody's struggling to pay their rent and their mortgages, and it's just a nightmare. So how long do you think that this recovery is going to be ongoing in Texas? Do you think it was cloud seeding related, or is that just a kind of a side issue?
It's, you know, I'm split. You know, it is kind of incredible that it's happening in different places, and in the amount of water that's coming is absolutely. Nick and I were driving away from Greg Abbott's press conference, and we were talking about how long the recovery might take. And I mean, the amount of damage and trees and debris,
sure.
houses. I mean, we saw 30 cars and trees driving. There was a 5 or 10 mile road. I'm going to say it's going to take years.
Wow. It's totally devastated the region.
Absolutely devastated. I mean, the water, we pull up at one scene and there's fish on the ground on the street, and the river's 100 feet out and 30 feet down. and for fish to be that high,
yeah,
you kind of take a second to pause and like, wow, the water was this high.
Wow. One thing I want to ask you, Nick, is what's different or similar of what you've seen here in Texas with the flooding and what you saw in Maui? Because obviously that was a major disaster in Maui. The response was something that many were very critical of. There's even new reports coming out today that women were exchanging sexual favors for perks and privileges and benefits in Maui. That was how devastating that was. Is this administration clearly different in its disaster response than the previous one, given what you witnessed when you were in Maui?
Oh my gosh. I mean, Maui is one thing. Maui was one of the most corrupt things I have ever witnessed in my life, the response to that. And you notice, like, you know, I have to tell people on Maui now that it wasn't just the Biden administration that botched that. It was also the state and local governments that had no interest in actually helping people recover. They wanted people off the island. That's what they wanted. They want, and they've gotten their way. They've gotten their way at this point. Now, you know, the Trump administration wants to help the people of Maui, but they can't do that when the state continues to block them out. The state and local governments will not request any help from them, are actively blocking investigations into what happened out there. You know, that's on one side of things. You know, if you want a more fair comparison, you'd go to Western North Carolina with the floods out there. Mm. And, you know, the devastation out there was very similar to what we saw out here in Texas. But that was a situation where they weren't given any resources. FEMA was never on the ground out there. They were actively blocking relief efforts because they didn't want me in there delivering Starlinks around to various fire departments, community centers, and giving them to police officers and such. It's like they wanted the place to be in the dark. It was really weird. But, you know, a lot of that had to do with, on the local level there, was just gross incompetence. Maui was totally corrupt, absolutely corrupt. And, you know, I'm hoping at some point the Trump administration will dig really deeply into that. And I think arrests need to be made out there. We still don't know who gave the order to push people back into the fire, to corner them.
Yeah.
And you know, these helpless people, the inferno was racing towards them, and the police are given orders by somebody we don't know to turn them around and send them back into the fire. They were physically blocking them from leaving the area.
That ain't right.
That is absolutely disgusting. I mean, maybe that's the difference between the Trump administration and the previous administration, is that with the previous administration, you see such corruption that people are trying to actually make a disaster as bad as possible for a desired political or financial outcome. While, like what you said, the first responders were there, the response was ready before the calamity even began to happen here in Texas with the floods. And so I think that's a pretty fair point. But obviously, there's been a lot of developments over the course of the last several days regarding the Trump administration. I think that Trump has done a really good job in a lot of ways. I'm still glad that I voted for him simply by virtue of the fact that he pardoned all the J6ers. I mean, that's a good enough reason for me to be satisfied with my vote for Donald Trump. That being said, there are some things that are very concerning, namely the fact that they're saying now that there isn't a Jeffrey Epstein client list. What are your guys's? I know you've been busy doing other things, saving lives and helping people get internet access in a tragedy disaster zone, but what are your initial thoughts with the latest developments in the Epstein investigation?
Well, I'll start.
Sure.
I'm pretty passionate about it. It's absolutely disgusting that we've been told by Pam Bondi that we had files on her desk.
Yeah.
And there's news clips. There were truckloads on one way to another. And then to be told the case is closed. So I was frustrated yesterday. If you follow my X page.
Sure.
I had a day of unleashing on it. Yeah, you know, it's frustrating. Again, I would put Trump on Mount Rushmore, and I would vote for him again in 2028 if he was. I mean, I fully support Trump. MAGA as can be. We were promised the Epstein files.
Yeah,
and for them to come out 6 months later, and all as an American, all I want is the truth. If Pam Bondi gets on TV, I think Pam Bondi should absolutely do a press conference right away and say, this is what it is. This is the truth. Something else came up. We can't get them to you yet. But to say case closed, that's concerning. And I think it should concern everybody because we got child rapists walking the street.
Absolutely. Go ahead.
Yeah, well, you know, this is something that, you know, maybe I've missed something. You know, maybe you can explain it to me if I missed something. Because, I mean, Gunter can tell you, my head has been down into everything that we've been doing down there in Kerrville and such. And so it's been, you know, I haven't followed every single aspect of this story. But it seems like we were told there were documents. We were told there was something on Pam Bondi's desk. There was going to be the phase one binders. That was just a total farce. That was a setup. I was invited to that, and I'm so glad I didn't go, because that was a total setup meant to embarrass the influence, but use their clout, let's say, to push this message that, oh, yep, okay, the Epstein files are actually being released, here you go, you know, even though they knew that it was a total farce. But you can't say that there's more to it, that there are more documents and such, and then say, oh, well, case is closed, we're not answering any more questions, and then, you know, we get chastised for asking about it.
Yes.
You can't do that. I feel like I'm living in you know, a freaking, like, what, fever dream or something? Like, I don't understand why. It's just like, now they're just trying to say that it's gone and there's nothing else there. No questions. You're not allowed to ask about it. And I said it on X the other day. This is not going away. Pam Bondi should have done a presser or something that day, like they would do with, you know, if they arrest, you know, three people for jaywalking, they do a press conference at the DOJ. Yes, that's just how they
We've
operate.
We've got 204 child predators in the last 7 days. I'm thinking to myself, that was one of the things that her and Cash bragged about, mm-hmm. was 204. And that's great that you, in the last 7 days, you've arrested or charged 204 child predators. But based on all the statistics and studies that I've looked at and what percentage of the population has those tendencies, that means there's millions of them in the United States. And if you caught 204 in 7 days, that's, what is it, four in every state? You're never going to catch them all that way. You have, that's not that impressive. I mean, Alex Rosen has been responsible for the arrest of more child predators as an individual with a phone and a small team than what the FBI was bragging about at the federal level. And it's great. We should be catching all the child predators. But I don't know. I mean, there were thousands of kids that were the victims of many predators, that, and it's all just going away. If I had to guess what's happened, there's a lot of people coming out and they're trying to say, oh, Trump's not releasing the information because he's on the list. And I think that's BS, because if he was on the client list, he certainly would have known that. So why would he have ever signed an executive order his first week in office to ensure that all the Epstein files and lists be released if you know that you're on it?
Right.
So my guess is that he signed the executive order in order to keep the campaign promise, and he genuinely wanted the Epstein files to be released, and that through the process of this investigation, there's information that he previously was not aware of that was brought to him that made him change his mind. And they're just saying that there was no list as an excuse, because they don't want to imply or indicate what that information might have been to make Trump change his mind. But it's not that he's on the list, in my opinion.
So this is what I've been saying this publicly for quite a while, is I don't believe that there is a list in the sense that, you know, people want their to be, but a list can be compiled based on, okay,
phone records,
that can, you know, the videos. I mean, you're saying there are tens of thousands of videos of what? I mean, he had cameras in every bedroom, every bathroom. Where are those videos? Why is there a minute missing from the jail video that we got the other day?
Victim statements.
Yeah, victim statements. Are all these women that came forward, are all of them liars? You know, it seems odd. And why? You're not helping anything at all by just refusing to answer even the most basic questions about it. You don't have to be a conspiracy theorist to ask, you know, why is there a minute missing in this video? I mean, that seems like a fair, if you're trying to definitively say that nobody came in or out of that block in that 10 hour span or whatever it was, and then there's a minute missing, you have to account for that minute. What happened there? You know, just any answer. We don't have anything.
Or you got nothing. Even if the explanation is perfectly reasonable.
Right.
And I think her explanation was very weird, but they should have known that 1 minute was going to be a problem and gotten ahead of it. And like, look, this is the software that the prison uses in order to store its files. It's set to, you know, do a defragmentation process for 1 minute every single day to ensure that it always records. You know what I mean? They could have gotten ahead of it, but it's just like the lack of a sense of the pulse of the American people and our attitude about these conspiracies, I think, is indicative of a real detachment from the people, from Bondi specifically. I think Trump knows exactly what's going on with the people, but Bondi seems to me to she comes off to me like a little bit like a pageant girl, but more like a valedictorian, where she was probably incredible at writing the perfect essay for the perfect teacher and getting perfect grades on every test. If she knew what someone else needed her to do for them, she could probably do that perfectly, live up to someone else's vision or expectation within an already established system or institution. But from a leadership standpoint, I don't think she has any intuition about what's really going on. I think she's a reactive person rather than a proactive person. And what we're seeing is what happens when you make a valedictorian type the attorney general, when we really need somebody who's aggressive and shoots from the hip and acts on principle and impulse without fear. I mean, the whole thing that she's been doing this whole time as the attorney general is going on Fox, trying to represent the Department of Justice from a PR standpoint, when what we really want is a Department of Justice that establishes justice rather than a Department of Justice that tries to convince you that it's establishing justice.
Right. Pam Bondi needs her own PR person.
Yeah.
Fox News.
Yeah.
And just do her job. But now I really believe she has exactly what you're explaining. She has to come out tomorrow, I mean, ASAP, and explain what she was saying, what she was doing, why she said something, just to get truth out there. As the American people, we deserve truth, especially about the Epstein files.
I agree.
You know, Pam has this, and we've seen it from like the first weeks of the administration, where she talks and talks and talks and talks, and it doesn't sound real either. I mean, it's not convincing what she says on TV, especially, and then you had the James O'Keefe expose that happened on her, where she was caught, you know, that's when she actually was forced to admit that there were videos, mm-hmm. because, you know, she had to get ahead of the James O'Keefe expose. She knew it was coming. She knew she was caught. And so we wouldn't have even have known that information unless she was caught on hidden camera admitting that. So she's not, she doesn't have, who trusts Pam Bondi at this point? That's what I'm saying. Like, I want to see her poll numbers. Is anybody on a poll on Pam Bondi?
It's not even whether or not I did a poll. I did a Pam Bondi poll.
Did you?
I said, yeah. Is Pam Bondi more likely to give me a blowjob or release the Epstein?
Oh my God!
It had like thousands of votes, and it was like 90% the blowjob. And I guess I was right. Everybody was right on that poll. Folks, we're coming up on a break in 26 seconds. I'm going to keep you guys, if you're willing, I know it's late, for just another 30 minutes because I'm really enjoying this conversation. Make sure you guys go to the alexjonesstore.com right now and be the reason it's possible for us to broadcast the truth relentlessly to the world in the face of this onslaught, this assault on all that is good, right, and just in the information war. Stay with us for more on the other side.
So we had Stuart Rhodes, the founder of Oath Keepers, former J6 political prisoner, constitutional lawyer, so much more on Paratrooper. And he wanted to try methylene blue like so many other guests have done live on air. I got so busy with all the Iran war stuff and the commies rioting to ever get him to take it on air. All the guests, dozens of them that have taken it, within 45 minutes to an hour, have varying degrees from extreme energy and feeling really great to fog lifting to just over the top crying and feel so good. Especially the first time you take it. Electrochemical in the mitochondria, cleans out the cells, just does incredible things. RFK Jr. loves it. We've got the strongest ultra methylene blue. But he's going on Owen in about 30 minutes. My show just ended and I forgot to do this. He's like, hey, are we doing methylene blue? So he's going to take it now. But guys, don't forget when he's on Owen, to maybe, if he forgets before he's going to go off, to tell us what he felt. And if he doesn't feel it, we'll put that out. I've had like out of 300 plus people we've given it to, two people did not feel it. That means your mitochondria is in perfect shape. So Stuart, go ahead and take a half dropper or so. That's about a half dose. And then go ahead and shut that down. And then we're going to find out what happens to you. We'll see. Most people, it hits within about 30 minutes. It starts peaking after a couple hours. But you're going to be on Owen. So please, before you go, just tell people what you think. And if you don't feel it, we're going to tell everybody.
20 minutes later.
I can feel a definite, like, an energy spike. Yeah, it feels pretty good.
What are you going to do now that you have your energy spike?
I'm going to see if it has a crash.
I've never heard of a crash.
Yeah, apparently it doesn't. But yeah, it feels pretty good. Yeah, definitely I feel sharper.
Okay.
Yeah, because I was pretty tired coming in here.
Oh, really?
Yeah,
well, you're running around Texas right now. You're dealing with some other issues here.
I was driving all over Texas giving speeches for True Texas Project, and I was pretty efficient in sleep. Yeah, right. I'm feeling pretty good.
So did he give you the drink or the capsules?
I took the drink, but I got a bottle of each, and I'm going to go and do a longer-term test. We'll see how it goes.
Okay.
Yeah, I do feel kind of amped right now. Yeah.
That's good. Well, that's probably, I don't know, that might be because you're hanging out with me. So we gotta maybe try to get a
I think it's about the Wing Blue.
Leading a frontal assault on the lies of the New World Order, it's Alex Jones